Greetings, everyone. So good to see you all here, and looking forward to our first Thursday World Peace Meditation Zoom call. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and this is Thursday, February 1st, 2024. Madeline and I are in West Palm Beach, Florida, at the Hippocrates Health Institute. Still here. I think this will be maybe the last thing we do. No, maybe, yeah, maybe we get one. Maybe the third Thursday we might still be here. Not sure. Anyway, here we are. And it's been an exciting last few days. We just went down to Homestead, Florida, which is just above the Florida Keys for the Woodstock Fruit Festival, where we delivered 7 different presentations, and they went really well, actually. It was great. There was about 400 people, and it was totally raw, and mainly fruit with a little bit of greens and veggies, but all raw, and pretty wild. A lot of young people, a lot of music and dancing and yoga and acrobatics and shenanigans of all kinds. But it was great. It was nice. It was a good crowd. And we had a great time. Spoiling Madeline. So we're back in at Hippocrates, which is all also totally raw, vegan, organic food. It's so funny because at Hippocrates, the philosophy is anti-fruit. They're not in favor of fruit. And I think part of the reason is that at Hippocrates, a lot of people that come here because they have cancer and nothing is working in the mainstream medical, so they come here to heal cancer through the modalities here, which is mainly a whole food, organic, vegan diet. And they found that really reducing the sugar intake is helpful. So there's this kind of tension in the raw food world between the pro-sugar fruitarian types and the anti-sugar like sprout types, where we are now. We're in both. We like them both, but we like also, as Madeline keeps reminding me, our share of starch as well. We like John McDougall and the starch solution, and so we get a little bit of starch whenever we can. Organic grains and pasta and rice and potatoes, sweet potatoes and that kind of thing. So we're doing great. We're healthy and happy, and it's inspiring, though. I have to say, it is always inspiring to see people when they come here. And it's a pretty good crowd here. There's probably about 100 people in residence right now. They usually come for a 3-week program. Every week a new crop of people comes, usually for 3 weeks, but they can come for just 1 or 2 or 4 or 5, whatever they want. But the recommended is 3 weeks, because that seems to be a good amount of time to make it's called the life transformation package, I guess they call it, or something like that, to change your life. And they do. That's the neat thing. A lot of people come here overweight, with cancer, with diabetes, with arthritis, all kinds of things. And we see major improvements. People look a lot better after 3 weeks. It's really inspiring. We just did an event a couple hours ago in the main hall on healthy relationships, which went great, because that we realized that that's really a major part of having a healthy body. It's not only having a healthy mind, but having healthy relationships. And a lot of people are, I think they have, disease because of unforgiven anger and holding a grudge about something, or fear, all kinds of things. Our body and mind are really not separate, as you all know. So we gave a talk about all that and had a guided meditation, and it went really well. And our friend, who, as you know, I think, Lisa Wong, who's gone through the training, she joined us for that. We had dinner together, and she should be here any minute, I think. She's staying in her RV now. down here. She followed us, as you all know, probably from California last year, but she stayed here when we went back to California. She really likes living in Florida. Lisa, you're here. Great. So I will get that going. So let's see. All right, here we go. So we'll go ahead and get started with our meditation. Looks like we have a few people coming in here still. And as you all know, the basic pattern we have is, it seems to work, I think, pretty well, is to just have a little bit longer meditation here, and then a Q&A after that. Talk about whatever you'd like. It's wide open, except we try to stay more with spiritual issues on this one, and then on the third Thursday, which is only really for the World Peace Diet Circle people, that's really open to everything, including political stuff. This is more spiritual stuff, but as Gandhi said, anyone who thinks politics and spirituality are disconnected does not understand politics or spirituality. So I agree with that assessment. And so Lisa Wong is appearing and disappearing here, but we'll see what happens. Okay, so just want to make, let's see here. Okay. All right, everybody. So feel free either to leave your screen on if you like, or turn it off however you like for the meditation. We do ask that you, probably a good idea to mute just so we keep the distractions to a minimum. And we send our love to you and really appreciate all your efforts to help embody the vegan message of compassion for all living beings. So we're ready to start. So let's just go ahead and begin our time of meditation on this beautiful day. There's a name for today. I just found out. Today is, I can't remember the name. It's an old Celtic Gaelic word. You know how there's Samhain and Beltane. You know, these are the old words for the equinox and the solstice. And there's another one. It's called I can't think of what it is. But anyway, it's a word. It's a word we never heard of. But it means the day that is the exact midpoint between the winter solstice and the spring equinox. So that's today, February 1st. So we're halfway to springtime, and the days are getting warmer, and the sun is up a little bit longer. In the northern hemisphere, it's time of the quickening of the sap in the trees, perhaps, and the feeling that the long dark days of winter, though they are still with us, a lot of them are behind us. So it's a time of emerging. I really like the word emerge, because when you emerge, you can see maybe more clearly. Then you have what I call an emergency, but not what the officials call an emergency. That's like the opposite. They say an emergency, they mean go into your room and shut the door. But for us, emergency is the opposite. We emerge and see. And we see the beauty of the world. We see the beauty of our own true nature. And we open to the possibilities of this lifetime as agents of kindness and love and healing. So let's become aware of our breathing together, just letting go of any thoughts of the past or any thoughts of the future, any worries or regrets that we may have, any other things going on in our lives, and just for this time, the next 30 minutes or so, we just allow ourselves to enter more deeply into the heart of being, where we are aware of our unity with the source of all life and the unity that we share with all expressions of that infinite and eternal source of all life, the infinite love that births and sustains all of us. We give thanks for this awareness in our heart. We give thanks for this precious human birth and this opportunity to clarify our understanding and clarify our way of living, that every thought, word, and deed aligns more and more fully with the truth that what we are is a radiant expression of divine love and is filled with joy and wellness, with wisdom and compassion, with a sense of freedom and creativity and oneness and solidarity with all expressions of life. So as we breathe, we exhale and let go of any obstacles to our freely functioning awareness of unity and oneness. We let go of any wounds, either physical or psychological or emotional or spiritual, and know that what we are is the eternal sky that can never be damaged. That wounds only take place if the material and outer dimensions of our being, that what we are is always whole and complete. We abide for a moment in this awareness. We savor and feel and experience the depth of this awareness. That what we are can never be harmed in any way. Ultimately, we are completely free of all obstacles and impediments and wounds and fears. We abide and shine in radiant awareness. We give thanks for this opportunity to breathe on this beautiful earth, to inhale the same exact molecular realities that were coursing and spinning through the bodies of all the enlightened masters like the Buddha and Krishna and Jesus and Mary and all the great wise beings of this earth. Just letting go of thoughts. We give thanks for all of our relations, knowing that through our relations with others, we are contagious with health and freedom, compassion and joy, and loving kindness. We give thanks for all the animals of this earth and our breathing with them as they celebrate their lives or as they endure their imprisonment at the hands of humans. We send them our love and appreciation. I give a special thanks to the beautiful little pond otter that I watched for a good 15 or 20 minutes this morning here in one of the little ponds at Hippocrates as he swam across back and forth this little pond and catching fish and jumping up on the bank and rolling around on his back and then jumping back into the water again and then catching another fish and running back up onto the bank and rolling around and playing. Such a beautiful display of innocence and harmony. If we can realize our kinship with all living beings, we give thanks for all the trees and the forests as they breathe with us, giving us the wonderful richness of oxygen, as well as their wisdom and their silent benediction. They witness and support us in our efforts to bring healing to our world. And then we give thanks especially to every cell in our physical body and all the organs and systems. The tremendous intelligence coursing through our physical body, bringing every aspect of our life into harmony and awareness, and the infinite light of intelligence at the core of the universe that is guiding our life. We give thanks to all of our allies, our human allies and our non-human allies, our whole family of related beings, and we join with them in the great yearning to light the path of liberation up the mountain of meditation and awareness to the summit of fully developed wisdom and compassion. With every breath now, let's radiate into our world, into the infinite web of relations, the four fundamental manifestations of our true home: love, compassion, joy, and peace. May all beings be filled with the awareness of love, compassion, joy, and peace. With every inhalation, we engender love in our heart, and with every exhalation, we radiate this love in all directions. May all beings be loved. May all beings be blessed. With every inhalation, we engender in our heart the feeling of compassion, yearning to help relieve the suffering of others. And as we exhale, we radiate compassion to all beings. May all living beings be free of suffering and all the causes of suffering. And with every inhalation, now we engender in our heart the feeling of joy and the awareness that the core of our being is the joy that needs no reasons in the outer world. The joy of being. With every exhalation, we radiate joy in all directions to all living beings. May all beings abide in the joy of their true nature. And finally, we engender in our heart the great peace peace of knowing that no action we ever take can ever sever us from the infinite love that is the source of our life. We are always one with the one life that lives through all of us. The infinite love that sustains all life. So with every exhalation, we radiate this peace and harmony into the infinite web of relations. May all beings be at peace. May the entire earth realize the truth of the existential peace that pervades all being, a harmony within all forms. Abiding in our true home, breathing and radiating love, compassion, joy, and peace. Abiding in the stillness that unites us all. Prior to any thoughts and words and actions, the pure potential out of which every song emerges and to which every song returns. Every day is a song, every action is a song, every being is a song. And finally, we give thanks, knowing that we are, each one of us in our own unique way, fulfilling our destiny as part of the awakening of humanity during these crucial times, to raise the awareness, to liberate us from the delusion of violence towards animals and the earth and each other, into harmony with our true nature and the true nature of all beings. Give thanks knowing this is so. And so it is. Yay. Margie, you got it right. It's in bulk. That's it. Thank you for that reminder. Today is in bulk, halfway between the winter solstice and the summer equinox and the spring equinox. So, thanks everyone for joining together in our time of meditation. And thank you, Lisa, for letting people in during this whole thing. Happy birthday, Kenny. I know it's your birthday. And everyone else, happy day. We call our birthday our special day. So, I mentioned before the meditation, some of the activities we've been involved with. We're just wrapping up our time. We're here, actually, we figured it out in Hippocrates for 8 weeks. And we only have 2 weeks left. So it just flies by. And we have a lot of events scheduled on the way back to California from here. So maybe we'll see you on some of those along the way. If you're in Florida, or I'm not sure where, I think maybe one in Louisiana, a couple in Texas, some in Arizona, Southern California, and heading back up. So we're taking the southern route back. So I'd like to just open it up if anyone has any concerns, questions, or celebrations or whatever. that has to do with the concept of satsang, which is a gathering of truth seekers. And the idea is not only are we seeking the truth, but we are actually embodying the truth, each one of us. And in conjunction, of course, with ahimsa, the path of vegan living, of compassion for all beings, and embodying that authentically in our world. And that's not always easy. There's a lot of ways of interpreting the teachings and how we are, each one of us are called to embody those teachings and to express them. But guaranteed that the more we are able to embody the ancient wisdom teachings, more joy and harmony we will experience in our lives, and the more skillful we'll be acting. And the teachings really, I think they're incredibly beautiful and in many ways difficult to actually understand and especially to live. They're relatively simple, but to actually live them is difficult. And so when we don't, we can feel the suffering. And the suffering is not necessarily bad. You know, it's our indication that we need to look in another direction. So as you know, there's that feeling, there was a book I think called Homesick for Heaven. You know, the idea that we have this yearning to return home to our true nature. And in many ways, our entire society conspires to tempt us and subvert us into completely opposite paths. And that's where the money is. And that's where very often we find we're being pulled. So that's why I really love the Sangha. This is a Sangha, as you know, is a Sanskrit word that means community of seekers. And the Sangha of veganism, vegan world peace diet people, the whole idea is to support each other. And very often the best support can just be to join together and meditate together. We don't have to necessarily even talk about a lot of issues. I think just acknowledging each other is great. But if there are specific issues that you think would be good to get some clarity about or share, then we can certainly do that. That's why we started doing this. It's about 3 years ago, I think, or whatever it was. It was in the dark days of COVID. And we started it, and I think we still haven't really emerged from all that. So I think there's still a lot of deception manifesting everywhere in our world. And the more we can find the truth in our own hearts, the more we find it in the outer world. So just if you do want to say something or ask a question, there's two ways of doing it. If you're on the phone, you can press *6. You can go to the down below where it says reactions. You can raise your hand, or you can just wave if your video is turned on, and I'll be happy to unmute you, or you can unmute yourself. So let's see. Anything? All right. Now, it's good if there isn't. I mean, don't worry. I've got plenty to talk about, but... it looks like, Kenny, do you want to say something? That you're kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to go ahead and unmute yourself. I can't hear you. Unmute yourself.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Okay, you hear me now?
Now, yeah, now I can hear you, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I sent you that cartoon video by Jack Gesheit. I shared it with some people. I was mind-boggling because I've never seen a cartoon like that. It's it's a pro-vegan cartoon. And, it shows a lot of the violence, but would you be willing to share that with the group? I just think it's a good thing to, maybe a tool that can help explain the vegan message in it.
Yeah. I think it's a very well done. I liked it. It was great. I'm trying to look and see if I have it. I put it in. I have it somewhere here in my notes. But the it's a video. It's basically using the great song from Mary Poppins, Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. I think isn't it that one? Yeah, but it's like change the words to like mass psychosis, animal killing something. Yeah.
So mass psychosis. Yeah, it's a thin line between comedy and horror. It goes back
right,
and forth.
Right. Well, that's
it's a cartoon that it's the animal suffering and it's like wow, I've never seen anything like that before. That's why I brought it up. And,
yeah.
I mean, if you can't, well, I think try to share with other people. Again, you never know what tool. I'll say one thing. You never know what tool sometimes can work to convert people to veganism, which is one of my great passions. Save animals' life. Just a quick story. I was going out with this girl in 2016, and she, after a few weeks, I think I had her listen to your World Peace Diet and other things, and she became vegan within a few weeks, but her daughter starts screaming at her and yelling, this is my house, I should be able to eat what I want to eat, blah, blah, blah. And she had a turtle and a cat that she loved. So she this woman said, what am I supposed to do? I said, well, I tell her what you do. Go watch Sir Paul McCartney's 10-minute video called "Of Slaughterhouses at Glass Walls, Everyone Be a Vegetarian," and then you can eat whatever you want. And she'd never seen it either. So the two of them watched the 10-minute Paul McCartney video, which was adopted by Peter. And they were just like, covering their eyes. And then the daughter became a vegan just from that one 10-minute video.
Right, yeah. I think...
cartoon might be another tool that could help people see the truth.
Right. No, you're right. These, anything we can do, I think, to help embody the message, and it's hard to say what's going to actually impact someone. Communities, like for me, a lot of it was just being in a vegan community or having that, talking to people. But I've gotten countless emails from people saying that the World Peace Diet helped them to go vegan. So books, videos, Cowspiracy is one that's talked about a lot, as well as Earthlings, and there's so many that have helped people to make the connections and get them over the hump. And usually, I think it's good to remember that very often it's a number of different inputs that will accumulate in someone's consciousness. So that for that reason, I think it's helpful not to be either elated that what I did made them go vegan, or be dejected that what I did didn't make them go vegan, because maybe they need to see the message, say, 237 times or 82 times or whatever the number is. And if your number, 77 along the way, you might think, well, it didn't help, but it all helps. Planting seeds. I think it's all about planting seeds. And
are you in the movie Cowspiracy? Are you going to be, I forget, were you in Cowspiracy?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in that
You're
one.
You're going to be in the movie Cowspiracy? I'd like to hear about that, too.
Yeah, I can talk about that. Cowspiracy, we just did another screening of that here in South Florida to a select group of vegan organizers in Florida. And it was great to see it. I saw it for the second time, the whole movie. And then afterwards, the two directors of the movie, Kip Anderson and Cam, got on with us on a Zoom call, and we could ask them questions, and we had a long talk. We had a really beautiful sharing with them, and it was great. We're excited, and a lot of people are pinning a lot of hope that Cowspiracy will be the big thing that'll help veganize the planet, I think it's a great film. It's well done. And Kip is, he's really good at creating a story that just pulls you in. And so instead of preaching at you, you know, as a viewer, you know, he's not preaching at you. He's just saying, look, this is what I figured out. You know, I went here, we went there, we talked to this person, we talked to them. This is what, and the underlying question that starts at the very beginning of the movie, the very first opening thing is, you know, Kip is giving a showing of Cowspiracy. And then this guy in the audience, Cam, who I've met, when we were in Phoenix, it was a long time ago, it was probably at least 6 years ago, we were interviewed for this movie, and by Kip and Cam, and so we are in the movie.
You're in Cowspiracy, that's the movie you're
in
Cowspiracy.
Yeah, that was in Cowspiracy too, yeah. But anyway, so Cam, so in the beginning of the movie is Cam stands up in this crowded theater and says, you know, does anyone have any questions? You know, Kip is fielding questions after the showing of Cowspiracy, and Cam says, what do you think? Would Jesus kill an animal for food? And Kip's like, I don't know about that. And then Cam says, well, I mean, I'm just wondering, you know, how would Jesus kill an animal? And so that's sort of the seed of the movie, and it goes throughout in different ways, through Christian, asking different Christian ministers and other theologians, all the way, you know, from sort of more fundamentalist people all the way up to the highest people at the Vatican, and then also of Buddhists, also of Jewish people, also of Muslim people, also of Jain and Hindu and people who are doing humane slaughter and people. I mean, it really, he just goes everywhere with this basic question. And how do you kill an animal in a spiritual way? And it's fascinating really to see the adventures that they go on. And there's a nice mixture of danger and getting themselves, you know, in really sticky situations and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of like a thriller. It's a very compelling, very well done. And they have done, you know, it took so long. I mean, it's like, what the heck is taking year after year after year after year? You know, like, you keep waiting for this movie to come out. And it was all set to go out on Netflix. Like the reason Cowspiracy and What the Hell, his two other movies, and also Seaspiracy, three other movies, they all did really well because they were all Netflix features, you know, and Netflix just, that's the platform. But this one, Netflix wanted to control the content, and they had to make a decision whether they would not do the movie they wanted to do, or do it anyway, and then figure out how they're going to get it out to the world. So we talked to them about that quite a bit, but basically when they decided not to go with Netflix, that meant they had to actually build an independent platform for independent movie producers. So the good news is they've built this whole platform, they say anyway, that not only can they use, but in the future, countless independent movie people can use it as well, and they won't be under the thumb of Netflix anymore. And so that's really good news. And they have been very successful in their fundraising campaign. I'm not sure what they're up to, but they were hoping for $300,000, and I think they're up around $500,000. So, you know, it's there's a lot of momentum behind the whole thing, and it's really in alignment with everything that Kip started out to do. You know, like, I think I've already told you that, but he went through our World Peace Dive. He's one of us. He's our World Peace Dive facilitator, and he went through the training, and he told me he wanted to make a movie, and he ended up making these actually four movies, you know, Cowspiracy, What the Hell, Seaspiracy, and now Christspiracy, to bring the World Peace Diet message, which was really the big picture of veganism, including the health and environmental and spiritual and what we do to fish, because that's really been missing a lot in the whole, in all these different books. And I think, you know, the ripples really radiate. Like, when we go to other countries, China, for example, or Eastern Europe, they love Cowspiracy and What the Health. They show it every, they show it like by the millions. So these movies are translated into all these other languages and they really get out there, you know. So, this one, I think it'll upset a lot of people. You know, it's pretty pushy in a way, but in a good way, because he's just asking. It's like, kid, you know, he has this signature way of asking, you know, I just wanted to know, you know. And so, it's very hard, to me, it's very heart touching, the whole thing, how he does it. So it's, but anyway, so we were going to have a showing here, a public showing, but that was denied because, what they're doing now is they're saving up all their energy for a major release in March. So it's going to be released in March, and they apparently have got a contract with movie theaters, like mainstream movie theaters all over the United States, like thousands of movie theaters all over the United States. It's going to go. It's going to be a feature film in major movie theaters all over the United States and Australia. They've got United States and Australia lined up. So that's like a brand new, huge thing. And they were, you know, I was like texting them and emailing them, and it was hard sometimes to get through to them. And they apologized. They said they're working like 18-hour days trying, you know, to negotiate, like set all this up, because it's a major thing to set all this up, to get this launch to go. So I think we should send them our prayers. You know, they're really, you know, their hearts are really in the right place, and they're very humble, you know, great people. So I think that's the thing. You know, it's just, it's coming, but, when you get the word, then just let's send it out. Gino, do you have a comment? You had your hand up there for a while.
I wanted just to share an experience, based on the, how you mentioned at the beginning, the distinction between this, first day of February, your World Peace Diet meeting, and then later in the month it's more open to a lot of other things. And I'm usually talking a lot at the other one. And I thought, you know, my spiritual journey has been many years, and the last couple of years very, very deep, based on various teachers and various things I've been engaging. And I have seen a great shift within me. And so I mentioned a week or two ago that I had been to Florida to see my family, and I couldn't get down to where you were. I was in Newport Richey.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was staying with one of my sisters, and historically we've always fought. And often when I think about going back to see family, I don't want to go, because every time I do, there's always this huge argument with her that she instigates. And so she had, you know, some personal things that happened to her where she's kind of shifted a little bit in terms of seeing me as her older brother and seeing me at my age and seeing that maybe, you know, my lifespan won't be forever. Maybe she start being nice to me, things like that. Anyway, so I went there, and I could feel her really trying to be kind to me through the whole visit.
Wow.
Which was a wonderful shift. And then one night she said, tomorrow is Sunday, she said, I'm going to go to church. Do you want to come with me? And she is quite the Christian. I'm not at all a Christian. You know, I like the whole concept of Christ consciousness, but I'm not a Christian. I don't go to church and everything. I was raised a Catholic, you know, so was she actually. But she's a big fan of Joel Osteen. So she would watch his programs on Sunday. And then she found a church locally that is almost a carbon copy of Joel Osteen. And I knew that that's what it was. And I said, no, I can't go. I said, Michelle, you have to understand, I'm never going to be a Christian again. And something clicked, and she got extremely angry with me. And she said, well, I'm never going to be a vegan. I said, oh, God, here we go. So I really didn't respond to that, because that was a key, before I would have had a huge argument with her. So anyway, we both went to bed. And then the next morning I had an epiphany, and I said, you know what? I'm going to go with her. So there I am in the kitchen, and she's all dressed. And I said, what time are you going to church? She says, I'm going now with her husband. I says, well, I'm going with you. And she just stopped and she looked at me and she said, I love you. I said, well, thank you. I love you too. And I says, you know, I'm here because I want to know all about my sister. I'm never here. I don't know what your life is like. And I want to go and I want to see what your experience is. I want to see what it's all about. So we went and, it was huge church and we got there just a little late. There were probably 2,000 people there.
Whoa,
there
really?
Were four sing- yeah, it was huge. There were four people on the stage singing away with a band and talking about the glories of Jesus and the joy and, you know, how Jesus will save you and all that. And then the preacher came out who wasn't the main preacher, but he started doing his spiel. And his message was fine. But as he progressed in the message, it got heavy, heavy, heavy Bible and dependency on Jesus for your life and, you know, all that. And that he lost me there. So anyway, we left and everything. And I was very nice to her about, you know, I said, yeah, I can see why people would enjoy this and everything. And so she was satisfied with that. And then later on in the afternoon, she had an argument with her husband. So church didn't do much good for her that day. But I didn't say anything. But, you know, it was, you know, what I'm remarking about is first I'm thankful for her kindness. And when I got home, I sent her a beautiful card and a thank you and all that. And she was very moved by that. So I, to me, this is spiritual living, you know, making these shifts with people. Family can sometimes be the hardest, as we all know, especially with veganism. And so I just implore everyone to do the best you can with family especially,
yeah.
And of course all these people that we're always talking to out there in the world about veganism. So that's my story tonight. Thanks for listening.
All right. Thanks, Gino. That's, yeah. Anyone else? Tammy, you have your hand up. I'd love to hear from you. If you're there. There she is. All right.
Hello everyone. Well, I'd like to share what's really been kind of infusing me lately is this whole thing around planting seeds within ourselves and the world. And I feel this really deep spiritual upgrade going on right now on the planet. Like I feel this access to something really, really something. And I guess I just wanted to share that. And I feel that a lot of the seeds that I planted within myself for certain levels of consciousness, certain ways of being in the world are coming to fruition right now quite easily, actually. The deep peace with everything, you know, even being within a setting where, well, my grandchildren, for example, my granddaughter, I'm so in love with her. She's such an incredible being and she's not being raised vegan and she absolutely respects me, but it's just even with that, you know, just being the seed that I planted for myself to be in harmony with others in the deepest way, it seems to be quite accessible now. And just believing that the seeds that we're planting out there are, I don't know, I just see a lot of people shifting really quickly right now. I just wondered if that has been your experience at all, Will, and maybe everyone else here. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that too. And thanks everyone, Kenny and Gino and Tammy, for your insights. And I think, one of the things that, is, you know, it's hard to really get, I think a pulse on what's happening, in the world. In any way from the mainstream media, because it's so skewed and it's so divisive. So I think, getting, you know, to get that pulse, we rely on, our everyday experiences. And I think also perhaps in meditation, just our, intuitive awareness of how we feel about, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin called it the noosphere. I call it in my book, on developing intuition, your inner islands, I call it the truth field. You know, the idea that the earth is surrounded by a physical atmosphere, but there's also a mental atmosphere, and I think also a spiritual atmosphere. I call it the truth field. And we can be connected to that truth field, and we can actually feed into it. You know, we can send our love and our awareness and see the truth in other beings and make it stronger and raise our vibration so that we're more connected to it all the time. And, I think, you know, like where we are, even here at Hippocrates, I think the people that are drawn here are people who are usually on some kind of an ascendant path. You know, they've been very often abused by the medical system, and they've said, no more, I'm done, I'm out of here, you know, and they've left it. And, so a lot of times they're still kind of messed up. You know, they're still eating meat and dairy and eggs the day before they get here, but they're going to try something new. And so they're open, which is you know, so we're kind of seeing a lot of that. And then we were just at the fruit festival with 400 young people who are all really into healthy living and mostly organic whole plant-based food, eating and living, coming from all over the place, just coming in. And, of course, that was a really very encouraging as well. And I realized, you know, I'm kind of self-selecting who I'm hanging out with. It's a lot of vegans, a lot of spiritual type people. So it's easy to, in that bubble, to say things are getting better. But I think also just, as I look through the internet and as I just, I'm aware more and more that people are waking up. You know, we've been hammered by a tyrannical system, basically 24/7, 365, you know, for the last several years and actually for decades, really the educational system and everything. And so, people are more than ever, I think, realizing that they've been injured by it. And are questioning it and saying no, and that's a great thing. So we're in, though, I think, a critical time of increased pressure from the globalist forces and increased resistance by the human spirit. So what you're feeling is accurate. My feeling is that there is a quickening of the human consciousness. And I think what's really going on, in a sense, is that the tiny, tiny number of people at the very top of the globalist agenda are savvy about the fact that we don't live really in a material universe. The material universe is kind of an illusion. It's the outer form. And that where change really happens is at the mental level and in consciousness. And so they've been basically just seeding, the mental atmosphere with huge amounts of fear and divisiveness. And a lot of people are plugged into that and buying into it. So I think it really is important for us to meditate and send the opposite of that, send love and gratitude into the field. Because we are connected, we are telepathic. And so I think the more we can realize that we are telepathic, and Madeline, she coined the word, but she coined it as far as we know. The internet, there's the internet and the internet. And the internet is this, we call it, you know, that's the interconnection that we have with each other. And that's what the whole circle of compassion is about. You know, we have this prayer every day at noon, and the idea is just to feed into this web of consciousness and not allow these, pretty satanic forces to keep polluting it with their fear and violence. And so it takes, number one, going vegan, because veganism is really the foundation of kindness and compassion and harmony and peace and freedom and sovereignty and liberation. And then we're authentically living this. But then don't just stop there. Then to get out of materialism, Because most vegans are still mired in the swamp of materialism. Even though they're vegan, they're still deluded, and they're getting angry and frustrated and fighting with people. So the whole idea is then to raise our vibration consciously so that we're just feeding continually a stream of gratitude and loving kindness and compassion into the mental field, because that's why we're here. And I was thinking the other day about the symbolism of a gym, you know, like when we go to during COVID, they closed down the gyms. And so a lot of people got out of shape and they weren't exercising and they weren't lifting weights and they weren't getting on the treadmill and getting their heart rate going, and you couldn't go outside even. But a gym, you know, a gym is like a metaphor for planet Earth, I think, in many ways. You know, like you go to a gym to get strong, right? You go in there because there's heavy weights in there. And there are these, you know, treadmills that have resistance. And there's these bicycles that have resistance. You know, you wouldn't want to go in there and have everything, like the weights are only 3 pounds and the treadmill, you can just, it's easy, you know. That's how the earth is. I mean, the earth has really heavy weights and has really hard to do, you know, treadmill. I mean, you come into this thing and it's like, man, you gotta like really roll up, you gotta work hard to, but that's what it's about. You wouldn't want to go to a gym and say, well, we just thought, you know, you guys, yeah, you're all in good shape. We just took everything out of here and it's just an empty room, you know. That'd be kind of like that weird heaven that they used to, you know, where you just sit on a cloud and play your violin or whatever. You know, so we're not drawn to that. We came here. I think everyone who comes to this earth on some level chose to be here. Whenever someone says, well, I didn't sign up for this, you know, no, yeah, you did sign up for it. We all signed up for it. And we're not going to get more than we can handle. But that it is a training ground. It really is. We're here to grow spiritually. And that means to face the most difficult challenges. And everyone has the simile of a gym ends very quickly, because it's like, it's different for everybody. And everybody has the challenges that they've given themselves, probably from when before they were born. And so you can never compare a life with any other life, because everybody has their own unique mission on this planet for them to unfold, and we can help each other, but the main way we help each other is by doing our mission, by lifting our weights, by doing our training, and by facing up to it, you know, being authentic and actually not being afraid to do the work that we have to do. Because if we don't do it this life, will come back in the next one, and we'll have the same thing. So ultimately, though, it's a beautiful path of getting to the point where we are able to actually live in the greatest awareness. I think that's the thing that's really beautiful, is that the efforts that we make actually transform our way of being, our consciousness. And we realize that we no longer have to depend on people outside of us to make us happy. We don't have to be at the mercy of outer circumstances, that we carry within us all the tools to liberate not only our own consciousness, but to actually plant seeds to liberate others as well. And so it's beautiful that you're feeling that, because I think it's true. I think we are, as a species, maturing. That's really what it's about, and getting more telepathic in a positive way, where we're looking at each other in the eyes and we know that we're connected. That's why they're so insistent on us masking and social distancing and censoring and being afraid and looking at each other by our race. And the worst thing, I think one of the very worst things, is the sexualization of children. And really the sexualization of everyone. I mean, sexualization of human beings in general. It just brings us down to this material level, and we start to look at each other as objects to fulfill our own lust. And that is really damaging on a very deep level, to our awareness. Because once we turn other beings into objects for our own use, we're, that's satanic. I mean, that's like using others for our own benefit. So they're weaponizing, sexuality big time. They're weaponizing, but beyond that, they're weaponizing, our compassion. You know, the fact that we, you know, love and care each other. Say, well, if you love and care each other, you're going to wear a mask, you're going to get vaccinated, you're going to do all these things. So all these things are being weaponized. So we have to understand that and, really be aware, be savvy about what's happening. I can see that I've just gone over time here. So, but thanks so much for bringing that up, Tammy. And, thank you everyone for joining us this evening. Is everyone okay with everything? I know I just said a lot, but we have to, be aware of the, it's good to be aware. I think Jesus said it somewhere in the Bible he said, I send you forth as sheep among wolves, be innocent as doves and savvy as snakes, or something like that. Anyway, he said, you know, he says we have to be innocent, but also very savvy. There's a better word he uses, but to be aware of what's actually happening, not to be deceived by outer appearances. Because that's really the thing, you know, evil, we think of evil as just some kind of like, you know, obviously evil, bad, cruel, violent, but that's not the way evil, evil comes across as, oh, it's green, it's all about social equity and inclusion and all these wonderful things, and just do what you're told and everything will be fine. So we have to be savvy and realize that there's things that are masked, you know, the positive can be easily weaponized. So we have to really have discernment, discriminating awareness. All right, so that's it. So I guess we're good, and we're looking forward to our third Thursday. I'm not sure, when is that? Oh, here, I have my calendar right here. Isn't that, that's amazing. So our third Thursday of February will be, yeah, it's the 15th. So we leave here on the 16th. So it'll be, wow, it's going to be a busy day. I can't even tell you what I'm doing because it's too literally embarrassing. No. I'll tell it. Okay.
It's not so public.
Lisa actually got me signed up a week from, I mean, on that day, the 15th, to give a lecture at Sunsport, which is a nudist colony right nearby here. So I'm going to give a lecture wearing no clothes. What a riot. But nobody else is wearing clothes either. So everybody's not wearing clothes, so it's okay. So, so we'll be doing that in the morning, and then another lecture at Hippocrates in the afternoon, and then we'll have our third Thursday in the evening, and then the next morning we're lecturing, leaving to go to Miami, and then to Key West, and we're leaving Hippocrates. So it'll be a busy time. All right, everyone. Well, much love. Let's say our prayer together.
You're going to speak the naked truth.
The naked truth, right. Thanks, Kenny. That's what we'll be doing. Yeah, and we'll tell them it's... you got to handle the truth.
Yeah.
The truth is you can't handle the truth.
So let's unmute everybody. We can unmute ourselves and let's say our prayer together that we all know. Here we go. Compassion circles the earth for all beings everywhere. Compassion circles the earth for all beings everywhere. Okay, one more time with gusto. Compassion circles the earth for all beings everywhere. All right, we love you. Thanks, everyone. We'll send out the recording.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Happy birthday.
Thanks.